Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The South Central Iowa Solid Waste Agency recently held collection events in Marion County. How did they go? How much was collected? Were there differences among cities? And why is it important to dispose of hazardous wastes appropriately? Let's go in depth with Sarah Bixby, director of the South Central Iowa Solid Waste Agency. Well, Sarah, the South Central Iowa Solid Waste Agency held two July hazardous waste collection events. How did those events go?
Oh, we were really happy with the turnout. We had, I think, 75 people that we were able to serve in Knoxville and 50-some people in Pleasantville, and almost 2 tons of material that we recovered between the two events, which when you stop and think about that being chemicals and hazardous, it's a really good turnout.
So 4,000 pounds of hazardous materials.
Yes, 3,946 pounds of hazardous materials.
Okay, and these were the events in Knoxville and Pleasantville, and you've also recently held events in Grinnell and Sheraton and Pella as well.
Correct. So far this calendar year, in those events, we've collected 14,300 pounds of hazardous waste. Stuff that people have in their houses, ranging from, you know, the new compact fluorescent light bulbs, which have mercury in them, to, you know, cyanide and other chemicals that you probably haven't been able to buy legally for 40 or 50 years.
Cyanide?
Yeah.
That's still around?
Yes. And a poison, you know, a pretty toxic poison that people had sitting for whatever purposes they would have used it once upon a time.
Well, if I'm bringing in something like that, it's grandpa's stuff, probably.
Yeah, I think so. I think that what we saw was people cleaning out their parents' homes, you know, when their parents have moved away, maybe grandpa's farm, you know, the old shed and stuff that's been sitting for a really long time.
And we just need to get that out and taken care of.
Absolutely.
Wow. And so there's still probably a lot of dangerous, hazardous chemicals still out there in the county then.
Yeah, I think on average, I mean, everybody generates probably 20 or 30 pounds individually each year just through their daily practices. But then there's all that stuff that's sitting out there that grandpa and grandma bought, that mom and dad bought. You know, oh, we'll use it someday, and it got put on a back shelf, and it's still sitting there. 20, 30, 40 years later. People don't believe that, but it really is out there.
And so if we've got an old shed, we need to look for that stuff.
Take a hard look, and we'll take it at any of our events. We'll take it here at the landfill. We've got a satellite building where we put it in storage until we can ship it away to an appropriate disposal facility. You know, we're not charging people to bring that in. We're just trying to get it out of circulation because the risks of it are so much greater than the regular garbage that we encounter.
So I bring in cyanide, you're not going to charge me?
No, and probably won't even ask you know, where you got it or why you have it, because the assumption is you're cleaning something up and we're getting it out of circulation.
And that's good.
Yeah.
You're an organization that has to make money, you have to pay the bills. How does that work with if you're doing this, what seems to be probably an expensive disposal process, but you're doing it for free?
Nothing ever happens for free. The decision that the Solid Waste Agency made many, many years ago was that picking up household chemicals was a program that was so worthwhile that we would subsidize it. And so we subsidize this collection service about a dollar per ton of garbage landfill every year. So $60,000 a year we just set aside for accepting chemicals from people for free.
Is that a common practice across the country?
It has been a very common practice. As the costs of disposing of chemicals get more expensive, as people's budgets get tighter, that's the service that now we're seeing in the trade publications people are starting to trim back on. You know, maybe they're charging a little bit for it or eliminating free altogether. So far, we're maintaining our commitment to offering the chemical collection as a free service and trying to get that stuff out of the environment.
Well, because the situation is that if it costs money, people are less likely to do it.
Yes. Although in some cases, I think that even, you know, here, clearly it's free and people aren't likely to pay attention to it or do it anyway.
Why the community collections event? Is it to go to the people so that they don't have to come to you?
What we see is that people typically don't drive more than about 5 or 10 miles to participate in any event. If you go to a community event in Knoxville, you know, the people that are there mostly are people from Knoxville. Same thing with our household collections for chemicals. People that participate, for the most part, are living in that community or very close to that community. And yeah, we're trying to reach out and pull in as many different communities as we possibly can.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Sarah Bixby with the South Central Iowa Solid Waste Agency.
One of the things that you mentioned when we were speaking before the interview started was you mentioned fluorescent bulbs and that that's has hazardous elements in it. Fluorescent bulbs do.
The new compact fluorescent bulbs, the little corkscrew-shaped ones, have a little bit of mercury in them. And if you read the directions, if you break one of those bulbs, technically you're supposed to like throw open all the windows and evacuate your house for a couple of hours to let it air out. It's a hazardous chemical. It's a hazardous waste, and we treat it as such. It's a light bulb. So, you know, people are like, light bulbs are safe, no big deal. But with that mercury in there, it really is a hazardous waste. And we're going to, at the end of this calendar year, have a system that doesn't sell the incandescent light bulbs anymore. So that's all we're going to be dealing with are those compact fluorescents and the halogens and the things that, you know, have to be handled more carefully.
Wow. Well, I don't think we need to get into the debates over the merits of those bulbs, but what's more important for us now is how do we process them? What do you suggest we do? I'm just used to tossing the old bulbs in the trash, and now it's not going to be that convenient. Is it? How, do you have ideas about how for us to make that happen more easily?
For right now, all I can say is, you know, if you burn up a compact fluorescent, put it in a shoebox or a, you know, hard-sided container of some sort, stockpile them, and same way, bring them into us at our collection events, being careful not to break them. Because, again, as you get a collection of mercury put together, you don't want to break that and release it in your house.
Now, is that different than the fluorescent bulbs I'm looking at in your office and offices throughout the county?
No, we treat the fluorescent tubes the same way. They're also collected as a hazardous waste and shipped off for disposal at a recycling facility or a hazardous waste facility.
So if you have a business, you just don't haul those out to the dumpster and toss them in?
Legally, you can't. There probably are some people that still do. But there's a federal law that says if you are a business and you have fluorescent tubes, you are required to take them to a permitted collection site of some sort so they can be recycled or disposed of properly.
And so you're exposing the workers, the sanitation workers, to a risk as well as the general environment.
Exactly.
Okay, so is there a chance that maybe the guys picking up from a business would see those fluorescent bulbs and what would they do? Would they report it to you or would they make a suggestion to the business owner? What's their protocol?
Hopefully, yeah, the collection companies, if they see that stuff in the dumpster, will say something to the business. More likely what happens is the business, if they're managing their fluorescent tubes incorrectly, they'll toss them in the dumpster and then throw stuff on top of it so they break, and then they have immediate mercury contamination, and then, of course, nobody notices that, and it's just business as usual, which is wrong and unsafe, but nobody thinks about those dangers because, hey, they're just light bulbs.
What proportion of, say, the population do you think recognizes the dangers in these common household business items.
If you go out and talk to somebody about their grandkids and you say, is this something you would want your grandkids to play with? I think a huge percentage of the population recognizes the dangers of chemicals. But if you go out and talk to somebody like a consumer and say, you know, is this stuff that's sitting under your sink dangerous or toxic, or should you manage it, you know, in a way other than just throwing it in the garbage? People don't really stop and make that connection. So it all depends on how you approach the question. I think in the back of our minds, a lot of us know that a lot of the stuff we use isn't safe to have just floating around out there. But to actually take those next steps and bring it to a collection event, or to bring it here to the landfill where we can, you know, pack it and save it for a while, it's asking for a greater commitment, and a pretty low percentage, actually. I'd bet less than 5% of the people that we serve will actually take those extra steps.
Wow. So if I walk into a business or a home and say, what did you do with that last fluorescent light bulb that burned out? They didn't bring it here.
Most people will have tossed it in their garbage and sent it to the landfill rather than bringing it to a collection.
Okay, and so that's part of our interview today, is to educate people that this is what they need to do and, in fact, are required by law to do.
Yes.
Okay, and if any business owner has a question about it, how to best process it, just call you.
They certainly call us. We have access to some resources that will help the really small businesses get rid of their chemicals. We can't provide them free service, but we can help them find ways to get rid of things at a lower cost than if they just went through commercially available options. And certainly we can answer some questions for them and help them get that process started.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Sarah Bixby with the South Central Iowa Solid Waste Agency.
Let's return back to the July hazardous waste collections and actually all of your hazardous waste community events. Is there a difference in what is turned in the different communities?
In the communities where we've been pretty regularly, we see the stuff coming in that people buy, you know, on an annual basis. So you get newer chemicals, you get light bulbs, and people kind of cleaning things up as they're using them. In the towns where we haven't been for a time, for instance, Pleasantville, where I think we haven't been for 10 or 12 years until we held the event a couple of weeks ago, we saw stuff that had been sitting for quite some time. And maybe people were out cleaning up, again, mom and dad's old house or the shed in the backyard. And, you know, we saw stuff where the containers were disintegrating. You know, they were starting to rust through at the bottom and have leaks of things. We saw old bottles that didn't have labels, or the labels were so degraded you couldn't really tell what was in there. And that's where I start to see the guys that we have working at those events, you know, holding things at arm's length and being really careful about how they take them out of the trunks, as opposed to the events where we're there pretty regularly and it's just like, okay, yeah, here's another box, no big deal. It's a little scarier when you start getting the older stuff.
Well, I guess so. I mean, is there a chance of increasing volatility in some of these as the years pass?
Actually, the day that we were in Pleasantville, we started and the temperature was about 89 degrees. And, of course, it was a hot day and it was, I think, 97 by the time we get done. But we had a lid pop off an old paint can. Just from the fumes in that paint can, you know, getting exposed to the sunlight and start heating up, and the volatility. We had a lady bring in cyanide, where the box was disintegrating, and it was, I think, sitting on top of some lye. And, yeah, there's great risk of chemicals sort of escaping the container they're in, mixing with something else, and having an explosion or a reaction right there in the street. And so we're pretty careful about that, but people are just, you know, putting all this stuff together in their trunk in a box and bringing it in, and they don't really think about chemistry class from high school where you're told, make sure these things are never in proximity to each other.
Well, most of us have forgotten most of our chemistry. I know I have.
I have to confess I never took a chemistry class, but I've learned enough doing these to be scared sometimes at what people bring and how they bring it.
Okay, so people have to be careful bringing it in, maybe make a couple of trips if there's any doubt about things, you know, getting mixed up. You don't want to do that. You just don't want to mix it.
At the very least, you know, make sure that if you've got a container that's leaking or torn or disintegrating, that you put it inside something else and set it off in a corner so it's not going to spill or run out in your trunk and mix with something else.
Now, you've got some more events coming up, don't you?
We have an event coming up in Albia on September 17th from 9 to 12 in the morning, and another one in Grinnell on October 8th, also from 9 to 12 in the morning. Both of those are open to anybody that lives in one of our four counties. But also, if they don't want to wait for an event, they don't want to travel that far, they can bring it here to the landfill anytime that we're open. And we have a storage facility here. We'll take it here. Anytime that we're open, we're always here.
And you'll be having annual events also in Knoxville, Pella, Pleasantville in the future?
Knoxville and Pella again next year for sure. We may not go back to Pleasantville next year, but what we'll try to do is pick another community and go there and do, again, a cleanup, you know, of some of the more toxic things that might have been sitting around for a while. And so far we haven't decided which community that's going to be. Part of it depends on which town's interested in having us come.
So if one of the smaller towns in the four-county area would make that request?
If somebody would make a request of us, we would be happy to add them onto the schedule. There's only so many additional events we can do each year, so, you know, maybe one or two towns we could serve each year and go out and do those extra events.
But most of us do a cleaning event once or more a year where we just, there's a bunch of stuff that we need to haul to the landfill, and we just need to embed this kind of thing. I need to save my new fluorescent bulbs to go with my runs to South Central Iowa Solid Waste Agency. When I tell my wife I'm going to the dump, I need to have, do we not say the word dump?
Well, dump's sort of a four-letter word, but...
Okay, well, I'll back off.
But it's okay. You know, I'm actually thinking about doing advertising, telling people to come to the dump, if they'll just come to the dump and bring us, you know, everything that they're supposed to bring us. I don't care what you call us, just please come and use us. Yeah, think about not just getting rid of your garbage, but getting rid of your light bulbs and your hazardous waste at the same time. And what's even best about it is that piece of what you bring in is free.
Just tell them when you pull up.
When you pull up, say, hey, I've got a box of chemicals that I need to get rid of. We'll take it to a different area. We'll set it aside, and we'll process it and get rid of it.
For free?
For free. Or at least at no cost to you on that day.
At that day. Any other thoughts you'd like to share with the listeners today about this hazardous waste collection effort?
The biggest thing that people can really do is, you know, just when they're buying chemicals now, only buy what they need and be careful to buy the things that they really need. So make sure that, you know, if you're buying concrete cleaner or weed killer or whatever, that it's the right stuff for the job. And if it would happen not to be the right stuff for the job, take it back to the store, you know, get your money back there. Don't create additional hazardous waste that you don't need to. And that's the best thing that they can do to save money for themselves and lessen the impact on the environment. Just don't buy it unless you absolutely have to have that amount for that job.
And if you need it and you have extra, bring it in.
Bring it in. Or find a friend that has the same type of need and share with them. But then if it's left over, bring it in, and we will happily take care of it for you.
And it's not only the legal thing to do, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, and the safe thing to do for us, for our kids, you know, for our grandkids, because it doesn't go away. No matter where you put it, it never really goes away.
Thanks to Sarah Bixby for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.